I've obviously been talking a lot about the state of Idaho over the last several months. Why? There's been a lot of trials there. There's been a lot of crimes committed in Idaho, and it doesn't seem to let up, quite honestly. Koberger is coming up here in the fall, if in fact that happens on that time window. Lori Vallow, just the couple months ago. There's a lot. I don't know why it's going on.
What's in the water?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the question I wonder about sometimes, where you have spurts of really bizarre crimes in very specific areas of the country. Utah has been another one as of late, and Daybell plays into Utah quite a bit too. But just weird things. In the state of Idaho, they also have a very interesting criminal justice system in terms of what they allow into court and what they don't allow into court when it comes to mental health. The insanity plea does not exist in the state of Idaho, meaning if you are mentally ill or insane, I know that's a very crude way of putting it, or you have something wrong that influenced you to do a certain crime, they don't care. They do separate in incarceration people who are mentally ill versus the rest of the population to a certain extent, but it's handled very differently. On this episode, we're going to go through that, why it is that way, because it always wasn't that way, and where it sits today in terms of this being a thing, because it's only one of four states that actually has the lack of insanity defense to be used there. Kind of surprised.
You know, and I think people, we've got enough examples in our normal society that, you know, we've got different mental illnesses, things where people are not grounded in reality. So we've got enough examples where I just don't understand how they can say, nope, sorry, this isn't going to be a thing here. Sorry, we're just not going to play into this. I don't get that.
Well, it's like anything where you want to bury your head in the sand and pretend a certain group of people doesn't exist.
Right.
I mean, we see it all the time. You know, it's like, I don't believe in that, so it doesn't exist. Well, just, I don't care what you believe in. If it's there, it's there. In the vast majority of the United States, a person accused of a crime can claim insanity as a defense. It doesn't mean they're going to be found innocent of the crime, but it does affect sentencing and things of that nature. This means if they can demonstrate that they lacked the mental capacity to form the intent to commit a crime, they could potentially be found not guilty by reason of insanity. However, this is not the case in Idaho. Idaho is one of only four states in the country that does not have an insanity defense, the others being Montana, Utah, and Kansas.
Ooh, you can speak to Kansas now, can't you?
Can't say I'm really surprised there. This unique legal landscape was shaped by the Idaho legislature in 1982 when they repealed Idaho's insanity defense statute and passed a law stating that a mental condition shall not be a defense to any charge of criminal conduct, which I find to be just rather ironic and crazy because mental condition has everything to do with someone committing a crime or criminal misconduct. It's like it's at the root of it.
You know, that brings me back to a little tiny personal story. A former mother-in-law of mine used to be just like a raging alcoholic. And the excuse she used all the time was, well, if I did it while I was drinking, I can't be held responsible. And this totally reminds me of that, you know? You made the choice to drink. So therefore, you knew that you turned into a raging asshole every time you drank. And you knew that the minute you popped that, you know, can open, you knew some shit was going to go down, but you still decided to do it. Well, and I understand alcoholism is a disease and all of that, but it just, you know, you can't just go out and do nasty shit to people and then go, oops, sorry, it was the alcohol.
Well, and that's even more of an argument there where it's like drinking, that's a choice one is making. Mental conditions, mental health conditions, personality disorders, things of that nature are not necessarily choices people make. Can they eventually be brought on by poor choices and abuse of this or that? Sure. There are certain things that can be brought on. There are some that are just genetic and they're there and we know they exist. And to say that's not any factor in this crime, maybe it should be in some cases. Not to try and let anybody off, but to be able to process cases in a more humane, realistic way than mm-hmm. the way they're currently doing it. David LeRoy, who served as Idaho's attorney general from 78 to 82, was instrumental in this change. He explained that the insanity defense was being abused and overused, which is not true, with defense and prosecuting attorneys hiring their own psychiatrists to prove or disprove whether mental illness played a part in crimes. Yeah, because they should. This led to trials that became expensive spectacles, quote unquote. LeRoy argued that whether someone is mentally ill does not change the fact that they committed a crime. He stated, we hold them to the same standards of guilt or innocence as any other citizen as long as the prosecution has proven all the elements of the crime with which the defendant is charged. He further explained that it matters little to the public whether there is a mental breakdown, alcohol use, or other mental health origin to the commission of a crime. The standard of guilt or innocence is the same for all citizens. LeRoy cited the high-profile murder cases of Lori Vallow Daybell and Brian Koberger as two superb examples of the application of the law in Idaho. Daybell, convicted of murdering her two children, has espoused radical doomsday religious beliefs. Koberger accused of stabbing four University of Idaho students to death late in the night in their off-campus home. LeRoy argued that the degree to which ideas, whether based on religion or insanity, led to the commission of a crime does not necessarily matter to a community or society at large if that person has committed a crime. I would agree with that. Most of society could care less. They want justice to be served. And I agree, justice should be served. If you were the one, even though I believe Lori Vallow probably doesn't think she killed her kids, she thought right. she was killing zombies, she still killed her kids and should spend the rest of her life in jail. If not, I would have been fine with her getting the death penalty as well, because I really don't give a shit what weird belief system she went into and that her mind allowed her to take herself there with. But I do think that we should examine these things differently as just a person who's cognizant of their actions versus someone who is not.
Her case, if she really, truly, in her heart, in her mind, she felt that her children were zombies and she was ridding the world of zombies, she was trying to do a really good thing so that she could meet Jesus.
Yeah.
On the surface, she was trying to do a good thing. But when you dig deeper into that, you go, you know what? She's not mentally sound. There's a problem here. She thinks that she's ridding the world of zombies. She's not living in reality. Therefore, yes, she committed a crime, but how we deal with her after incarcerating her is really important.
Yeah, I would completely agree, because there's more damage that she can do behind bars if she really, truly does want to with other people. Not everyone agrees with the statements that we just went through, however, with Idaho's stance on the insanity defense. Scott McKay, a Boise lawyer with 30 years of experience as a criminal defense lawyer, argued that Idaho's prohibition against the insanity defense is inconsistent with a constitutional principle which forbids cruel and unusual punishment. He stated, it is a departure from the longstanding principle in our law that criminal punishment is not appropriate for those who cannot tell right from wrong. McKay acknowledged that there might be cases of abuse of the insanity defense, but he cited studies that show only about 1% of felony cases use an insanity defense, and of those, only about a quarter are actually successful. So it's not being abused in a massive spectacle, as was said. He argued that it's not widely used or widely abused, and expressed faith in the criminal justice system and the jury system to discern when it's appropriate and when it's not. Despite the controversy, Idaho's new law banning an insanity defense, it's not really a new law, has withstood the test of time and the scrutiny over the past 40 years since it's been instituted. In 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear a case, Delling versus Idaho, in which the defendant challenged his inability to claim insanity as a defense in Idaho. However, the debate continues. 46 other states have some form of insanity defense, and most mental health advocates support insanity as a defense. The American Psychiatric Association, for instance, has stated that the insanity defense has always been grounded in the belief that there are defendants whose mental conditions are so impaired at the time of the crime that it would be unfair to punish them for their acts. Now,
doesn't mean not holding them accountable for their crime, right?
Well, holding someone accountable means some sort of punishment. And I do not agree with if someone is not mentally there, yet they committed the crime, that they would be innocent. Like I said, I think there needs to be something where it's appropriate for the individuals. And I'm fine with locking people up for the rest of their lives if they're that dangerous and are able to commit heinous crimes like murder, but believe they're doing something else. They should not be out on the streets, but maybe Correct. Not also incarcerated with other people where they could continue to commit those crimes as well, maybe in a Right. more secure type facility.
Something that is actually trying to give them a better quality of life because of their mental illness. Not that they somehow deserve to have a good quality of life, especially if they killed somebody. But if they are not of sound mind, they have no idea what they've done.
Well,
they don't understand it as a problem.
It may come in glimpses here and there, but you're not going to help anybody by just throwing them into general population.
Correct.
It's all supposed to be some sort of, rehabilitation, which none of that truly goes on for the most part in our prison system. It raises a legitimate concern about whether someone with a diminished mental capacity should be placed in the general population. Leroy pointed out that judges have to consider a convicted person's mental health condition at the time of sentencing. However, McKay countered that this latitude is limited and someone convicted of a crime in Idaho is turned over to the custody of the Department of Corrections. McKay expressed concern about the treatment of mentally ill inmates in Idaho's prison system, which he described as often overcrowded, understaffed, and ill-equipped to properly treat mentally ill inmates. Mm-hmm. While Idaho's prison system does provide mental health services, and prisoners experiencing serious mental illness that puts themselves or others in danger are segregated from the general population, many argue that prison is not the ideal place for those with mental illness. Mental Health America, a nonprofit advocating for the well-being of people living with mental illnesses, advocates for civil commitment rather than a criminal punishment for those deemed not guilty by reason of insanity. They argue that criminal sanctions promote public safety through the deterrent effect of the punishment itself and the stigma of a criminal conviction. However, without blameworthiness, deterrence is not effective and punishment is not justified. This is particularly a pertinent objection in Idaho. If Idaho denies the accused the option of an insanity defense, the state should at least have a better system of housing those deemed to have a mental illness. That I agree with. This mm-hmm. is a complex issue that continues to spark debate. It's crucial to keep informed as it continues to evolve. There needs to be essentially state hospitals. That's what we used to have. I've talked about this yeah. many times on the air. And we don't have them anymore. So we throw the mentally ill in with general population a lot, and you end up with chaos. There was some stat I saw the other day about the amount of people who die in the U.S. prison system each year. I'm going to try and
find it. It's staggering. You look it up and see.
And at least 6,182 people died in state and federal prisons in 2020. A 46% jump from the previous year. 46% jump. Now, obviously, there are people that die in prison that are just old. And that certainly does happen. But the numbers are going up quite a bit. 47 deaths per 10,000 incarcerated individuals. No one ever said.
I wonder, does COVID have anything to do with that?
I wonder if that has something to do with the jump. That would be a good question, because they were having a lot of issues with COVID cases in prisons over the last handful of years. And this would be a 2020 statistic. So that may.
It's possible. Yeah. But still, there are a lot of people who are professionals within the Department of Corrections, and they they are not equipped to be dealing with people with mental health issues. No. They're equipped to be dealing with criminals. So you've just thrown them basically to the wolves. They don't have any idea how to deal with these people. They may have taken a course or two, maybe continuing education kind of a thing, but this is not their forte.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just a system that we have of let's put people over here and forget they exist. And for good reason to a certain extent, but at the same point, we have to recognize where we're putting these people and how we're handling it when we finally remove them from society after mm-hmm. they commit their crimes. Although at the same point, too, if we're going to have or not allow things like insanity to come up as a defense, then we certainly need better health services out there so people don't end up falling into these sort of things either. It's a system that's broken. It doesn't work and doesn't really have any solutions to offer anyone other than Absolutely. Just more roadblocks left and right and ways of causing people to disagree with each other on what the correct course of action is. It'll be interesting to see when Lori Vallow's sentencing does come up exactly what she gets. I do wonder if the judge is going to have any sort of consideration of mental health as far as what he gives her, and not that he's going to give her anything less than life in prison, but exactly how that's carried out, where that's carried out, will be an interesting thing to keep an eye on when that trial or that verdict, that sentencing rather, trial, sentence, verdict, when the sentencing is finally revealed here in the coming weeks. We'll, of course, have coverage of that for you right here on the podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. For Stacey, I'm Tony. Stay with us.